When you pause to reflect on the story of your life, surely you can identify a few twists in the plot you never saw coming. Those shocking revelations determined your character and tested your confidence in God. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll draws our attention to one couple's dramatic story and the supernatural intervention that rattles our notion of an idyllic engagement. The characters in the plot are Joseph and his fiancée, Mary. Describing the miraculous conception and the young couple who witnessed God at work, Chuck titled today's message, "The Surprise That Still Brings Relief."
This marvelous season of the year is something that we need to treasure in every way. You may not sing, you may not play an instrument, but you can still enjoy the music of the season. There's no other time of year when greater music is heard all around us. I often say they're playing and singing our songs out there. And you'll hear them whether you're at a grocery store or in a mall, in a shop, perhaps stopping by to do business with someone. You will hear the songs, and let me encourage you to drink that in. What a privilege and what a moment of worship you can enjoy as you reflect on the words. We know many of them by heart, and this is the time to sing them. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 1 together. Please turn to Matthew 1. I'll begin reading at verse 18, and then we will take a couple of verses out of Galatians 4. Sounds like an unusual place for the Christmas story to be mentioned, but in fact, it is in a letter written to free us from the law and all its legalistic tentacles. Paul inserts a comment regarding the coming of Jesus there in Galatians 4 in verse 4. So you can have your finger in that place as we begin reading from the New Living Translation. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, "Abba, Father." That term, Abba, is an intimate term. We have the English word daddy or papa. That would be a similar translation to Abba, Father. Because of Christ, God is now like that to us. He is like our daddy, our heavenly Father. Now, to Matthew chapter 1, I'll begin reading at 18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Verse 24. When Joseph awoke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called The Surprise That Still Brings Relief.
God brings relief in ways that we could never imagine or even anticipate. And when he does, well, he's the best at surprises. Let's just put it that way. He's filled with surprising ways of relieving us of pressure and relieving us of fear and worry. I thought about that when I read a true story that took place back in World War II, of all places, inside a B-17 bomber on its way to its destination. It was loaded with bombs, ready to be unloaded on a particular Nazi destination. And the war was escalating, and the crew had been on numerous combat missions together, so much so they were almost like a family. And some may have called it a flying fortress, which was sort of the nickname given that particular aircraft. But those who flew in it would often say it didn't feel much like a fortress when you're up there in the air and being shot at by heavy artillery and the swarm of the Luftwaffe around you as the fighter planes would come and try to bring the bomber down. Every man in every turret was busy and scared as he was fighting for his life and the life of his buddies on the plane. It was a scene of chaos as they neared their target. Realizing the growing danger that each crew was facing as the war was escalating, the chaplain of the base back in England decided that he would go on this particular mission on this particular aircraft. So he was there watching all of this take place. He could see that the fear was palpable, and that the men were, some of them, beginning to lose heart, wondering if they were going to make it back safely. So he decided, as he stood there near the cockpit, he needs to give them some words of reassurance. He took the mic within the plane and he said, "Men, I want to remind you that we are surrounded by the presence of our God. He is on board this plane. He will see us through." A pause in the fighting lasted for several seconds, just long enough for the tail gunner, 74 feet away at the very end of this plane, to get on the same mic and to answer back, "Well, Chaplain, God may be up there with you guys in the cockpit, but he sure ain't back here in the tail of this place with me." At that moment, a shell from heavy artillery down below burst through the fuselage, if you can believe it, coming up through the bottom and going out through the top, leaving torn metal on both sides a few feet from where the tail gunner was sitting. He was white as a sheet. And grabbed, by the way, it miraculously didn't explode. It just blew through the plane. He grabbed the mic and he said, "Correction, God just walked in." Full of surprises. bringing enormous relief. I don't know of four words that better describe the Christmas story than those words. God just walked in. What we don't think about often because we are sort of preoccupied with the color and beauty and all the Christmas cards, all the tinsel, all the gifts, and all the stuff in a peacetime place like ours. What we often don't think about is the chaos of the world in which Jesus entered. What a time. Everything must have seemed out of control. First, there was a power-mad emperor who ruled the known world from Rome, named Augustus, gave himself that title. There was an equally insane murderer named Herod who loved for people to see him as the king of the Jews. We read of Herod, but we don't often stop to look at the details of his life. What a treacherous man he was, who was a leader among the Jews when Jesus came. One man writes, Herod the Great, king of the Jews, enforced Roman rule at the local level, and in an irony of history, we know Herod's name mainly because of the massacre of the innocent babies. The man writes, I've never seen a Christmas card depicting that state-sponsored act of terror, but it too was part of the Christmas story and Christ's coming. Although secular history does not refer to the atrocity of the killing of those children, no one acquainted with the life of Herod doubts him capable. He killed two brothers-in-law. He killed his own wife, Mariamne. He killed two of his own sons. And get this, 5 days before his death, he ordered the arrest of many innocent citizens and decreed that they be executed on the day of his death in order to guarantee a proper atmosphere of mourning in the country. For such a despot, a minor extermination procedure in Bethlehem posed no problem. Scarcely a day passed, in fact, without an execution under Herod's regime. The political climate at the time of Jesus' birth resembled that of Russia back in the 1930s under Joseph Stalin. Citizens could not gather in public meetings. Spies were everywhere. In Herod's mind, the command to slaughter Bethlehem's infants was probably an act of utmost rationality, a rear guard action to preserve the stability of the man's kingdom. That was going on. Herod was in rule, and taxation was out of control. Matter of fact, there was a whole new plan to increase taxes, which explains the reason Joseph, along with Mary, made their way through those 90 miles down from Nazareth to Bethlehem, or I should say up, since they rose in elevation, in order for Joseph to go back to his hometown so that he could register and put in his name as a part of this new taxation plan. By the way, the Lord worked through that as well, getting them to Bethlehem for the birth of the baby. Those living conditions at that time were something else. It seemed as though everything was out of control. And then suddenly, silently, in a stable in Bethlehem that no one this day could point out where that location is, God just walked in. And they named the boy Jesus. What relief he brought to all who anticipated his arrival. But wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to set the stage before we go to that time of birth. First, I want to look closer at the event that began it all, where the angel visited Mary. You may not have read it for a while, so whether you have or not, turn with me to Luke chapter 1, not Matthew, but Luke chapter 1, and I'll begin reading at verse 26, and you will see what I mean about God's surprises and ultimately bringing relief. Note how Luke covers the details. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Pause right there. We know virtually nothing else. We don't know her age. We don't know her exact location, aside from being in the village of Nazareth. We don't know what she was doing at the time. We don't know the time of day. We know this. She never expected what was going to happen. It was a total, complete surprise. It's familiar to us because we've read the story so often, but put yourself in Mary's sandals. She is at best a mid-teenager, young Jewess, 15, 16, 17-year-old young lady, engaged to be married to the love of her life, Joseph. Out of the blue, as she found herself in this setting, an angel appeared. Now, I pause there because we're kind of overrun with angel stories in our day, and we've become even accustomed to that. But chances are good you've never been visited by an angel. Maybe you thought you were. Could have been a bad taco from the night before, or some weird thing that may have happened. You could have been in a dream or whatever. This was an actual angel that turned from invisible to visible. His name is even given us as Gabriel, one of the angels that normally was in the presence of the Godhead in the throne room, but now dispatched to earth through space, appearing. Must have been a remarkable appearance, frightening to be sure, and what a voice. Can't imagine the sound of an angel's voice. Gabriel has been given an assignment from the throne room. He is to come. He is to visit Mary in Nazareth, and he's to make her known, make her aware of the plan of God. Understand, she isn't ready for any of this. When you imagine all of that, you realize the surprise factor. And so he begins by saying, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Now, if you're working in your home or someone else's and you're busy about your stuff and you're a teenager and you're preoccupied with thoughts of your wedding coming up and you're thinking certainly about Joseph and about the things that are going to transpire in the days ahead, suddenly you hear a voice you've never heard before. You hear a greeting you never thought you would ever hear. And your first response, admittedly, is exactly what Mary's: confused and disturbed. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. What did he mean when he said, "Favored woman, and the Lord is with you"? What's he getting at? What's this all about? So she's clearly fearful. And the angel says to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary." The angel told her, "For you have found favor with God." Then the statement that is the most surprising of all statements: "You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Clearly, it's the promise of Messiah. You will be the one whose womb will carry the embryo, the fetus, give birth to Messiah. And she's a virgin. Mary asked the angel, verse 34, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." It isn't that she's opposed to the idea, it's that she's confused as to how it could occur. So the angel replies without hesitation, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God." Period.
Listening to Insight for Living. To learn more about this nonprofit ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. We hope today's message from Chuck Swindoll has given you a front row seat to the shocking storyline that played out in real time for Mary and Joseph. God chose these young parents, yet to be married, to bring our Savior into the world. When we watch their dramatic story unfold, it becomes obvious that human nature has not changed over the passing of time. Oh, sure, the culture has changed, but nothing about the human heart has changed. Chuck, that's true of Insight for Living as well. When your Bible teaching came on the air in 1979, we were using technologies like reel-to-reel tape recordings that seem archaic today. But there's a common thread, a consistent message that has never changed.
That's right, Dave. Insight for Living started more than 40 years ago as a radio ministry, long before the internet and mobile phones came along. Today, we're using every digital platform imaginable, and most of them are pretty unfamiliar to this preacher, I can tell you that. A lot has changed in 40 years, but gratefully, God's message of grace never changes. No matter what technology we use, God accomplishes His purposes when we simply expose people to the sweet aroma of His grace. Let me put some skin on that statement. Because of the financial gifts that listeners like you gave, this year we heard from lonely commuters who rely on us to give them companionship and biblical insight as they travel to and from work. We heard from devoted pastors who trust us as a mentor to teach them how to search the Scriptures and feed their own flocks grace-filled messages. We also heard from stressed-out students who live on campuses where their Christian faith and their moral boundaries are regularly tested. We heard from single moms who manage their households and work full-time jobs without any help. And we heard from wives and husbands who have lost their partners through death or divorce. They all tell their own personal stories of heartbreak and brokenness and their discovery of God's grace and their reliance upon His Word as taught on Insightful Living. And by the way, that's where you come in. If you have given to our ministry, you have helped carry this message of God's grace to people all across the world, people who crave it. This Christmas season, I'm asking you to step forward and help someone else unwrap the priceless gift of God's grace. Would you do that, please? You can do it right now by giving generously to Insight for Living Ministries. When all of us, me included, invest financially in this urgent cause, then together we become the fragrance of God's grace to those who desperately need His unconditional love. Let's do this together, and let's do it today. Thanks so much.
To respond to Chuck Swindoll, pick the method that's best for you. First, you can call the toll-free phone number day or night. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or it may be quicker to give at insight.org/donate. We're asking God to move in the hearts of people just like you to give generously, and perhaps more so than ever before, because we believe there's never been a more critical time to communicate God's gift of grace than right now, and to do so in a manner that clearly portrays the truth of Scripture. As another option, you can shoot us a text by using your mobile device. If you're listening in the United States, just text the word INSIGHT to this number, 555-888. Again, that's the word INSIGHT to 555-888. By giving today, you ensure Chuck's teaching is always here for you. But more importantly, your gift allows others to receive a fragrance of God's grace as well. If you're listening in the U.S., dial 1-800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org/donate. Thursday, Chuck Swindoll continues his message about the surprise that still brings relief, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Surprise That Still Brings Relief, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.